Again, we give you a very warm welcome. Thank you very much for coming this evening. Now, before we open with a word of prayer in the scriptures, let's sing another hymn together. Number 471. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. By thy grace I will be thine. Lord, I'm coming home. We'll stand for the first two verses of this hymn, number 471.
I wander far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home.
Understanding, give us clarity as we, Father, would seek to hear thy voice in the meeting this evening. Grant this, we ask, again giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me again to the Gospel record by Luke in chapter 15. Third book in the New Testament, following the Gospel record by Mark, Luke chapter 15. Verse 11, Luke 15 verse 11, and he said, this is the Lord Jesus of course, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living, with unrestrained living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine within that land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. What a delightful reading from the Word of God. As we consider further this parable that the Lord Jesus is speaking, now concerning the wayward, the willful son, the lost son, the lost sheep we've read together about, the lost silver we spoke briefly about last night, and now we enter in to this part of the parable concerning the lost son. But we would see that this son was willful, and this son was lost because of his willful attitude in life. If we would take up these three positions of being lost, we would see again that sheep lost ignorantly, just lost. You look at the sheep on the farm. I don't know about you, but as you drive down the road and you look at the sheep on the fields, that you would notice they never seem to lift their heads, do they? Nearly all the sheep in the field have got their head down and they're just concentrating on eating that food. Munch, 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 and they move along and they hardly look up, and you just see the sheep wander through that field with its head down, concentrating on the things of earth. It's easy to get lost like that, isn't it? Before you know where you are, you're lost, and you hardly even know it. And this sheep was lost ignorantly. All we like sheep have gone astray, the Bible says. Before we know where we are, we find and understand, I'm lost. And for some, tragically, it's too late when they come to that realization. Some understand that they're lost when they lift up their eyes in hell. Understanding then, and it's too late to do anything about it. They've just wandered like that sheep through life, down the broad road, presuming that their way was the right way. And the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Is the way that you're going in life tonight seemingly right to you? Do you just presume that everything will pan out okay, that it will all be all right in the end? Are you ignorantly lost this evening? Or are you lost because of a careless lifestyle? Are you lost this evening and you look back over the years and you've been careless with your years? Like the lost silver. Lost in a picture of carelessness. Lost ignorantly. Lost carelessly, and lost willfully. The first thing I want to look at together is that it was the younger son What significance is it that it was the younger son that was lost? And I want to just bring to our attention this evening a wasted youth. A wasted youth. Is there anyone in the meeting and you look back over your youth and it's a wasted youth? A youth that wasn't spent living for God. And a youth that wasn't spent profitably for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you scan back over your youth and you look and it's a wasted youth. And it could have been a worthwhile youth. It could have been something for God. It could have been something for Christ. Is it any wonder the Bible gives us instruction by the wisest man that ever lived on the face of the earth? In this human race, you would know I'm not referring to the Lord Jesus, I'm referring to that man Solomon. And he would give us the instruction, the wisest man that lived, he would give us this instruction. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come. Oh, dear friend, do you have a wasted youth this evening? Do you have a wasted life? We would see that there's not only wasted youth with this young son, there's wasted years. Years, it would seem, he spent wasting them in the world, wasting his substance, wasting his life, unprofitable, ungodly. An unrepentant heart, it led to ungodly living with an unsatisfied lifestyle. That's all that it will do for you. Ungodly living will never satisfy you. It will never bring pleasure to your heart. You'll never be able to look back over your life and think that you had a worthwhile life living for God, living for Christ. Oh, the tragedy of what it would be to stand before your Creator and know this, that you wasted your life, you wasted your youth. You had wasted years. Years that could have been spent to the glory of God. You stand before Him and they're wasted and they're gone and you can't get them back. You perish in your sins with a wasted life. And I know that this younger son wasted many years. Well, I think it would seem to indicate that. And the older son would complain later, these years, he said, I have served thee, never a kid for me. It would seem like that those two sons, having grown up in the house, the older son and the younger son, and they grew up and obviously got to a stage where the younger son was old enough to take his inheritance and to go out. And he took that inheritance and he went out and he wasted it. And the older son, he served in the home and served for years. While the younger son was out wasting the inheritance with ungodly lifestyle, and he wasted years of his life. Was it worth it? An ungodly lifestyle? Was it worth the years of spending what he had? Oh, the pleasures of sin are but for a season. They just attract. They attract a person by our sinful nature. And we're attracted to the glitter and the glamour of what the world has to offer us. The ungodly lifestyle, the riotous living, spending his inheritance on harlots, on immorality, wasting his life. Where did it get him? Came to a point when he understood this. It's all been for nothing. It's been profitless. It's been wasteful. Where did it start? Well, he had a yearning in his heart to do his own will. You look back over your life this evening, and there's been a yearning in your heart just to do your own will. Not to do the will of God. not to do the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be obedient to the word of God and to be subject to the word of God, but just to yearn to do your own thing in life and go your own way. Oh, look at where it led this son. This is a picture that the Lord Jesus is drawing for us so graphically that we may not waste our lives, that you may not waste your life, that you may not just continue to yearn to do your own will. Oh, but listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, to do the will of him that sent me. You know what the will of God is for tonight, for you tonight? Is that you would repent of your sin. You would repent of your waywardness. You would repent of your willfulness. You would repent of your wasted years. And that you would come home and experience what this young son experienced. Experience the Father's compassion. Oh, dear friends, in the meeting this evening, there was the unrepentant heart, the ungodly lifestyle, the unsatisfied life. The Bible tells us that we're ungodly by nature. It tells us that we're sinners. It tells us that we're enemies of God in this standing. And through willfulness, we go in our own way, pretending that we know better than God. Is there anyone here this evening and you know that in your life you've wandered on for years imagining that you know better than God? There was a man just at the door of this little hall a few days ago speaking to Len and myself, and he would be in his latter part of his life. Oh, the words of the Proverbs would be true. Before the evil days come, when thou sayest, I have no pleasure in them. And this man, who we spoke to at the door, he had no pleasure in his life. A life lived of sin, a life without God, a life without hope. He would tell us that he had no hope, just heading towards the grave, nothing to live for, nothing to die for. A life that has been completely wasted, completely worthless, completely profitless when it comes to the great eternity, when it comes to standing before God. If God was to take your life as you sit in the seat, would it be a wasted life, a worthless life? Or would you say, oh, for a few short years, I lived for God. I lived for Christ, failing, yes, with faults, yes. But I just desired to live for the one who was nailed to Calvary's cross for me. He gave it all for me. The very least I can do is turn from my sin in repentance and live for him. Oh, friends, where do you stand this evening? It's real, isn't it? We are going to meet God. And this man that stood at the door, he had a wasted life. A pointless life, a pointless existence to die without Christ and go down to hell, to be cast into the lake of fire and to spend eternity without God, without Christ, without hope, when, dear friends, Christ has done everything. He's borne the judgment on our behalf. He has made it possible for us to turn in repentance and to receive what he has on offer, salvation by God's grace. Oh, God's grace is very evident in this parable that we've read together. Do we deserve, with the wasted years and the willful life, do we deserve God's grace? Listen to what the Bible says. It's just according to the riches of his grace that we've ever received, that we've ever had hope of receiving salvation, that we can ever turn in repentance. It's just according to the riches of the grace of God. You know what it says in the same book? concerning those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and are on their way to heaven, it says that in the ages to come, He, that is God, will show us the exceeding riches of His grace in kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Oh, the grace of God is limitless this evening, and it's open, full, and free to be poured out upon your soul, that you may turn in repentance, that you may turn away from the wasted years. You may turn to Christ this evening and receive life, receive real satisfaction, that there would be a change, there would be a realization, there would be a repentance, and there would be a returning like this young son. But I don't know whether he was that young when he turned in repentance. Maybe there's a young person here. Maybe there's an older person here. Maybe there's a middle-aged person here. And there's a need to turn in repentance. And you realize as you sit in the seat, yes, I've wasted years of my life. Yes, I have a wasted youth. Yes, I've yearned just to do my own will. I've been in want, like this young man. But now I realize, like this young son realized. He came to that realization. Where is all this leading me? It's been pointless up until now. I've pursued my own course in life. I've left the Word of God out. I've left Christ out of my life. But it's been pointless. Where has it led me to? It's led me down to the pigsty. I'm hungry. I'm unsatisfied. Wasn't Len telling us last evening that the only person that can satisfy you is Christ? I just thought of that on the way to the meeting here as we drove past the supermarket. I just remembered what Len said last night, labor not for meat that perisheth. As I saw the car park of the supermarket full, as people would be going in and spending their time and effort and money to get groceries so that they can fill their bellies. And yet they drive right past the gospel hall where the gospel's being preached, and they leave the Word of God on the shelf just shut. Where do you stand this evening? Is it a wasted life? Well, friend, there's one thing I want to bring out in this meeting this evening. It's not too late to repent. I want to tell you that it's not too late to repent. You may feel absolutely awful. You may feel, yes, I've wasted my life. There was a point when I felt that. I just looked back over my life and I just felt, I knew I had just wasted my entire life. You could have set fire to those 26 years and they would have been burned up and incinerated. I would have been left with nothing. I remember the day as I gripped the steering wheel of the truck that I used to drive and going down the road and saying these things to myself. I've got to start living for God. I've got to start living for Christ. I've wasted my life so far. I've got to start now. Is there someone in the meeting and you've got to start now? You've got to come to Christ. That's the only way you'll be able to start. You've got to come in repentance. You know, people, they try to come to Christ and they try to come without repentance. Bevan and I were just discussing this before the meeting this evening. You can't come if there's no repentance. You see, for some people, a great big calamity happens. A great big calamity has happened over on the West Coast. Oh, let's all rush into the church. Let's all start to pray. 2 or 3 months down the track, 6 months down the track, the Bible's closed again. God is out of their lives. No more reason to pray. The calamity's over. That's not repentance this evening, friend. Repentance is understanding I've wasted my life. I've wasted my years. I've gone on a willful track. But now I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home.
And I pledge, I'm coming home. I'm coming to Christ. He can save me. There's nothing I can do.
But come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ.
Start out on a pathway with a new destination, with a new Lord, with a new Master, with new ambitions and new desires. Oh, what a pathway it is. Can I tell you about the yoke?
The yoke is easy. And it's it's a wonderful thing to belong to Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be yoked with Him. You know, the Bible says this, the Lord Jesus said this from His own lips, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Oh, the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ is not like the yoke of Satan. It's not like the yoke that this young man experienced, harsh and hard, and no satisfaction, laboring on in life under the weight and burden of sin. Oh, dear friend, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to be linked with the Lord Jesus Christ, linked indissolubly to the Lord Jesus Christ, to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to be going on to glory. Oh, there's no bitterness about that. There's no heaviness about that. Oh, dear friend, there's heaviness about the steps that go on a willful course with a wasted pathway. That's a wonderful thing. Would there be one that would come this evening and experience the compassion of the Father that waits? Oh, the confession of that Son and the change. The compassion of the Father as He would wait with His arms outstretched to bless. You know, He's been waiting for you for many years. Tonight is the night you're going to come to Him. You're going to turn away from your sin. You're going to come to the One who has His arms outstretched to bless. You know, the Lord Jesus stretched out His arms, and His hands were nailed to the cross. His feet were nailed to the cross. And He was crucified. Why? That you may never experience what it is to be lost in eternity, to be under the judgment and wrath of God for eternity. Oh, friend, would you come to Christ tonight? I remember the night I got saved, the preacher said, "Isn't it time you came to Christ? Isn't it time you left behind that worldly throng that's going down to the pit?" And I tell you, I sat in my seat and I knew it was time to come to Christ. Maybe not another opportunity. We don't know. But I want to tell you this and tell you this again. While there's breath in your mortal being and you sit on the seat here in this room, there's an opportunity to come to Christ. It's not too late. It's not all over. You can come to Christ while you sit in the seat. Turn in repentance. Come and confess to Him, the One who has compassion. You know, it said He fell on His neck and kissed Him. The literal rendering would be He covered Him with kisses. Oh, there's One who just waits to embrace you and to cover you with those kisses of love, of warmth, to lavish you in His love. Would you stay away? Oh, friend, come just as you are. Confess to this One, "I've been wrong. I've sinned against heaven. Yes, I'm no longer worthy." Oh, I want to tell you, He'll come in. He'll cleanse you of your sin. He'll bless you. He'll
Save your soul. A ring on the hand. You know why I've got a ring on my hand, don't you? Because I'm married. I'm not available. I've got a ring on my hand that is a symbol to you that I'm taken and well satisfied. You know, you come to Christ, you'll be taken. You'll be well satisfied, that's an understatement. And you'll never ever be divorced from Him. It's the wonder of God's salvation. The new garments of salvation, clothed and fitted for the very presence of God Himself. With new shoes on your feet to elevate you off this world and the sin and the degradation of the pathway that you've trodden, now heading with a new destination, a new pathway. What a wonder that God offers us this salvation this evening. Have you got it yet? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.